Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Snowbiz Now Entertainment Network, connecting the circuitry of humanity. To be alerted of new episodes moments before we go on the air, be sure to follow at The Nicholas Snow on Twitter. To receive promotional videos about upcoming broadcasts and to be invited to special hangouts, follow us on Google Plus. The snowstorm begins now. It's time for Nicholas Snow Live. Yes, over 6 feet of snow has just hit your podcast experience. And here he is, having just drifted into the studio, Nicholas Snow.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. This show is live on Monday, January 26, 2015. Just after 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Most people listen to my show after the fact, but whenever you're listening, one of the things that happened throughout the country this past weekend is Amazon Prime allowed a 24-hour free viewing of the Golden Globe award-winning series Transparent, which is how the patriarch of a family comes out as a trans woman. It's a fascinating show, but because of that sort of event in pop culture, this topic is probably more widely accessible than it has ever been. Now, one of my most popular videos on my YouTube channel is a speech given by perhaps one of the world's most famous transgender women, Laverne Cox, who just won a Screen Actors Guild as part of the ensemble cast of Orange is the New Black. So how cool is that on Netflix? I gave this particular episode the title Beyond Amazon Prime, Transparent in Real Life. So in about 10 minutes, I'll bring my guests on, but Alanis Schuller and Bobby Thompson are a married couple. That in itself isn't very unique. However, Alana is a male-to-female trans woman, and Bobby is her supportive cisgender spouse, and they live in central Kentucky, which does make their story very unique. Bobby knew Schuller as a male for approximately 25 years, and they even shared an intimate relationship in the mid-1990s. Nearly a decade passed when Bobby saw Schuller again in late 2006, only this time was a she. Bobby was freaked out and told Schuller she didn't want to have anything to do with her. 2 years later, they were married. So how's that for transparent in real life? Coming up in today's episode, I have Alana Schuller and Bobby Thompson, a fabulously married couple in Kentucky. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. First up, though, I'll have the event spotlight as usual, and it's all coming up in this episode of Nicholas Snow Live.
Imagine a world without HIV.
Imagine an AIDS-free generation.
Imagine helping to create it.
Imagine.
Imagine.
For more information about the annual Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards, visit DesertAidsProject.org, search Facebook for Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards, or search for the very powerful hashtag #ImagineNoAIDS.
Imagine.
Imagine.
Spotlight on Palm Springs.
Come to Lulu, the award-winning California bistro. Fabulous breakfast, a luscious three-course Sunday brunch, scrumptious dinners serving fresh fish, perfect steaks, pizzas, salads, and more. Something for everyone. A three-course special to savor from $15.99. The best all-day and night happy hour. There's always a party at Lulu in the heart of downtown Palm Springs on South Palm Canyon and Arenas.
New Designer Furnishings.
sparkling cocktail rings, vintage jeans and shirts for moms, teens, boys, and flirts. Area rugs and stylish bedding design your wedding. Shiny knickknacks and glam Hollywood throwbacks. You'll find it here at Revival, voted best of the Valley thrift stores. Now with even more new treasures, plus one-of-a-kind consignment and estate items. Fashion, accessories, furniture, it's all in store at Revival. Find it here. Visit us at revivalstores.com to find a Revival store near you.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Snow. Many of you know that I am HIV positive. I'm living powerfully with HIV because I benefit from the services of the Desert AIDS Project in Palm Springs, California, and I'm very happy to bring you this news from another grateful client of Desert AIDS Project.
I'm more proactive with my health now, I think, than I was before, and I think that's because there's other people that are being proactive with me. You know, there's people that are interested and concerned about it.
A lot of services that are very difficult to access to HIV-infected patients are gathered within one roof. We do have access to substance abuse counselor, mental health services, psychiatrists. We have dental service programs. We have nutritional programs. Housing, case management, very unique in the nation that all the programs, including medical services, are administered within one facility.
Coming here, I felt just an amazing amount of love from Desert AIDS Project. They are people who just care in the community, people who want to put a hand out and say, let me hold yours. And I think that makes all the difference in the world.
For more information, visit desertaidsproject.org.
This is the Snowbiz Now Entertainment Network, connecting the circuitry of humanity.
I want to especially thank my advertisers. Of course, you hear their commercials during the program, but for their contact information and links to their websites, and for information about how to advertise your business, simply visit NicholasSnowLive.com and look for the advertisers link in the main submenu.
It's time for our event spotlight. Here he is, shining his global media spotlight on the events of the day, Nicholas Snow.
Hey, everybody. One of the things I like to do at the top of every episode is call your attention to events that I support and let you know how to submit your event to me to potentially be in the spotlight from anywhere in the world. All you have to do is go to NicholasSnowLive.com. Click on the event spotlight in the main submenu, and you'll have a little form there to submit your own events, and you'll find the latest information of the current events that I'm promoting. Right now in the event spotlight, I have ongoing information about the fabulous Pantages Theater in the heart of Hollywood, where fantastic Broadway shows are performed all the time. Earlier in the season, my good friend and I saw the opening night of Pippin. It was spectacular. I have ongoing promotion of the LGBT Community Center of the Desert, Greater Palm Springs Pride, and the Desert Business Association, all of which have ongoing activities here in the desert that you're going to want to check out. You've already heard at the top of the show promotion of the Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards benefiting Desert AIDS Project. Those are happening February 7th, 2015. On Saturday, March 7th, it's the Red Dress, Dress Red Party benefiting the LGBT Community Center of the Desert. Saturday, March 14th, is the LGBTQ Spiritual Summit. I did a complete episode about the summit, which you can find in my archives. And also March 26th through the 30th, the American Documentary Film Festival. All sorts of things coming up here and there and everywhere. How cool is that? Just a reminder, go to NicholasSnowLive.com and click on the event spotlight in the main submenu. I'm going to be back after this with Alana Scholler and Bobby Thompson, a real-life married couple. But you already know there's a twist to this relationship, but they are far from twisted. Other people might think they are, but actually, they're honoring their truth, and we're learning more about that as a culture and a planet. More after this.
If you're one of my regular listeners, you've heard what's coming next, so thank you for your patience. but it's important for me to share the following information with my new listeners, so here goes. Since this podcast launched in early July 2012, it's been a big hit, listened to on average over 55,000 times a month, and surpassing almost 1.7 million downloads as of late December 2014. This means that sometime in the year 2015, I'll be able to truthfully proclaim that this podcast has had millions of listeners worldwide. Thank you for being one of them. Nicholas Snow Live features long-form interviews with fascinating, creative, and transformative people from all walks of life, as well as compelling event coverage and news of ongoing adventures in the world of travel and entertainment. This isn't changing, but what has changed is that I now put my listeners, that's you, and your viewpoints, in the spotlight at the beginning of virtually every new episode of the show, so we can discuss and reflect upon the hottest topics of the day. My show is about connecting the circuitry of humanity, and I want to be connected with you, and in turn, allow you to connect with my worldwide audience. I'm excited that in addition to the audio podcast, I'm now doing live video broadcast on my YouTube channel, and I'm inviting your participation via Google Plus Hangouts. To share your views with my audience, you need to know when I'm going on the air. So please follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google, YouTube, The Huffington Post, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, LinkedIn, Clout, and of course on iTunes. Simply go to NicholasSnowLive.com and click on the social networks link in the main submenu. You may also tweet me directly at TheNicholasSnow or like my page at Facebook.com/NicholasSnowLive. And now, on with the snow, show.
Compelling, intriguing, a mover and shaker, cutting edge, ahead of their time, a groundbreaker, in the news, worthy of the spotlight, amazing, informative, creative, and maybe even controversial. It's time for The Interview on Nicholas Snow Live.
And it's time for the main event. So I'm calling this episode Beyond Amazon Prime, Transparent in Real Life. And that's a reference to the fact that Amazon Prime made the Golden Globe award-winning television show the first season available for free viewing worldwide this past weekend. So people that have never really had an up-close and personal, very accurate portrayal of a trans person's coming out process had the opportunity to tune into that show and have had their eyes and minds and hopefully hearts opened. Well, Alana Scholler and Bobby Thompson are a married couple. That in itself isn't very unique. However, Alana is a male-to-female trans woman. Bobby is her supportive cisgender spouse, and they live in central Kentucky, which does make their story very unique. Bobby knew Scholler as a male for approximately 25 years and even shared an intimate relationship in the mid-1990s. Nearly a decade passed when Bobby saw Scholler again in late 2006, only this time he was a she. Bobby was freaked out and told Scholler she didn't want to have anything to do with her, but 2 years later, they were married. Alana is the author of Hung in the Middle, A Journey of Gender Discovery, and Bobby tells her side of their story in her memoir entitled My Husband Looks Better in Lingerie Than I Do, Damn It, which explains how she went from freaked out to saying I do and much more. Today, they still live in the same small Kentucky town where Scholler grew up as male. They have a blended family of 3 children, 4 grandchildren, and 2 dogs. And now it's my honor to welcome to the show Alana and Bobby. Hi, Bobby.
Hi, glad to be here. Thank you.
Hello, Alana.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. A little cold up here, but other than that, we're doing fine.
Well, you know, I'm based in Palm Springs, California, where over the weekend it was in the 80s.
I'll rub it in.
Don't hate me.
don't
hate
snow.
Me. So one of the things, you know, since I've been talking about the TV series Transparent, and it is really the most mainstream media example of someone coming out transgender, I want to ask, have you two watched that series? And if so, what's your take on it?
Yes, actually, we watched over a period of just a couple of days, watched the entire first season, and we absolutely loved it. And just like when we read other books about people's experiences, we see similarities from what was going on the show with some of the things that Alana has experienced and that I have experienced as the non-transgender entity in the relationship, and starting out first, of course, as just a friend and former lover to eventually becoming a spouse. Honey, do you want to make any comments about what you thought about Transparent?
Well, yeah, I thought it was really put together well, and, you know, it spoke a lot because, you know, one of the terms I hate to hear people use is passable. You know, a lot of people, you know, use that term, and I don't know that they do so much today as they did back when I first came out, but it's an example to me, you know, how he was plain, and, you know, a lot of people would comment on that or look down on that, but, you know, it's the truth. I mean, there's a lot of people, when they come out, it is hard for us to go out in public because, you know, we don't have that look that we would like to have, and sometimes it's really difficult, and that's why we seek surgeries and stuff like that.
But you thought that you both feel like the series is an accurate and positive portrayal of issues relating to the transgender coming out process.
Right. Yeah. I think it was a positive thing. Now, of course, you know, it can't speak for every transgendered situation, no more than my book can, and a lot of times I like to point out too in these conversations that I'm not speaking for every transgender person around, because their experience may not be, even though we're going to have similarities, there's going to be a lot of things that I've done that they may not have done as well.
Well, of course, and you know, I'm openly gay, and I express my own opinion. I don't speak for the gay community either.
Exactly.
Alana, I would love for you to talk about what it was like for you. Bobby, I would like for you to talk about what it was like for you when you bumped into Alana in 2006 when he was then a she.
Well, I had started hearing rumors approximately a year earlier, at least 6 months to 9 months, something like that, earlier about Alana. And whenever I would run into Alan, because that's how I knew him, there was never any mention of Alana. We live in a small town, so I was hearing the small town gossip. And then when I went by to pick up Alan, Alana came out, and that was my first indication that the rumors that I'd been hearing was true. And of course, it's always about me, so my concern was about me being seen in public with this confused person, you know, that was in my book. I call it in the cocoon stage, like a butterfly goes from a caterpillar, which we all recognize, and then they're in this cocoon stage that is something that's not recognizable to us and actually hidden from our eyes as the transition is going on, and then comes out as the butterfly. Well, it's the cocoon stage of transitioning that I find confusing and found confusing, and so my concern was, how am I going to be seen in public with this oddity? Well, then when I decided, you know, this person has been my friend for many, many years, and so just pay attention to the person, that's when all my fears went away. And I paid attention to Alana, and we did just fine right up to the point that she tried to flirt with me. And then I was kind of neat again and told her, let's get things straight. And I'm a very straightforward sort of person. If you think that you and I can have the type of relationship that Alan and I had, because in my brain I was identifying two separate entities, two different persons, one as a male and one as a female, one named Alan and one named Alana. So I was letting Alana know and told her that there's no way that you and I can ever have the type of relationship that Alan and I had, because when you're here, you've already got a strike against you because you take Alan away from me. So initially, I wasn't very fond of Alana at all.
Okay. Alana, now my understanding is that while Bobby has articulated that she was expecting Alan to come out of the house and Alana came out, really it's Alana who's been there throughout your entire life, and you've just been labeled as Alan, and you've made a decision to be true to yourself and allow your exterior to match your interior. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, I always took pride in the fact that I consider myself a very honest person, you know, and I don't respect anybody that will lie to me, and I will not lie to somebody else. And, excuse me, I got a little sinus problem here. So, you know, it just, that's the way that I operate, and that's the way I work. And then one day, you know, it kind of hit me. Well, you're nuts. You've been lying to everybody your entire life because you're hiding your true self and you're hiding your feelings and everything. So in reality, you are a liar. And I couldn't stand the thought that I was a liar. So, you know, that helped prompt me to come out, that and, of course, the doctors and stuff. But yeah, I'd been Alana since really 1969. But, you know, I had hidden it so deep inside myself that I just couldn't bear to admit it to myself either.
The picture on Alana's book is her at 8 or 9 years old, and the first time she dressed and at that time realized she was different. But, of course, it wasn't until she reached her mid-30s that she learned about transgender person and gained an understanding of what that difference was.
You know, hindsight is 20/20. They don't say that. I mean, they say that for many reasons. It's true. Alana, what are the influences that inspired you to really honor and express who you truly are?
I'll be honest with you. Here in Kentucky, I really didn't have anybody. Because you know, initially, the only thing I had to go on, finally, got a computer, and then my first wife, I had come out to her way before I come out to anybody else, because I could talk to her about anything, and we explored on the computer, and finally figured out what it was I was going through, because I was having these severe night sweats, really bad headaches, the doctors couldn't control my blood pressure, it's like a roller coaster. And, you know, I already at that point started putting on her clothes, her bras, her panties, and you know, it felt right, it felt good. And so eventually, you know, I did come out. But as far as role models, I didn't really have any because I didn't know where to look. You know, I eventually found a support group in Lexington and talked in a joint in that, and which I learned a lot there. But here in Kentucky, you know, you just really didn't know much about transgendered issues and stuff. I mean, you know, over the years you'd heard about gay stuff, but even that wasn't really talked about that much.
One of the things that I love about Transparent, the TV series, is when Jeffrey Tambor's character, Mara, in a flashback sequence, early in his exploration, ended up going to camp, a private weekend retreat. And one of the things that's revealed is that a tremendous amount of the men who were at this camp were actually heterosexual men who identified as men that were transvestites in that they liked to wear women's clothing. And you could see the character of Mara identify that even in that environment, that she was really very different than the people that she had sought out for support. In your own journey, Alana, was it always clear to you that there was a distinction between your gender identity and the simple aspect of dressing as a woman?
Yeah, I mean, you know, before I come out about being transgender, you know, of course, I just had all these things going on inside me, and I just wasn't sure what it was. And, you know, I started sleeping with men and stuff, and I thought I was gay. You know, because I didn't understand why I liked women's clothes and why I liked the heels and all this stuff. And this was really before I become aware of being transgender totally. And, started having sex with men, but every time I'd had sex with a man, I felt more like a female. You know, I just kept getting more feminine feelings and stuff, you know. So, you know, it's like, well, something's wrong, you know, because, you know, I feel like a woman, you know, and I just really enjoy, and a woman to me with a man, so, you know, I know that's not a correct statement to be making, but in my mind at that time, you know, it just being with a man just made me want to be that woman even more, you know. And so, you know, just, I don't know, it was kind of a rough ride. And, of course, you know, my going that route, eventually I, you know, made mistakes. And I got HIV, you know, and stuff. And, but, you know, it just, it was a hard road for me to take as far as my learning and finally, eventually figuring out that I was transgender and everything. And exactly what my issues were, you know. But yeah, I always felt like a woman, you know, not a cross-dresser or not a transvestite or anything like that, just a woman.
Did you pursue counseling and other sorts of support to help you be certain of your newfound awareness?
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, it's one of the first steps I had to take was going therapy, you know, because you have to get your therapist, you know, she'll talk to you and fill you out and see if you're, in her mind, transgendered, and before you can ever take the next step of, you know, getting to, on the hormones and stuff like that. So it's a process, you know, and I don't know how strict that process is these days. Back then, you had to have your therapist before you got your hormones, and then them two had to be in agreement for you to have the reassignment surgery, or as they say today, corrective surgery. So, I'm still in therapy, and also have a psychiatrist still today.
Bobby, you talked about being shocked when Alana came out of the house when you were expecting Alan, and
right.
And then you talked about realizing that Alana could be your friend. Before you knew there was romantic interest on her part towards you, how long did it take for you to get over that initial shock and to let go of what other people thought of you and to embrace Alana for who she is?
It was a process. Like you said earlier, Alana knew all along that she was Alana, but it was a new idea to me. And as a lot of transgender male-to-female persons will do, they try to man up to make a situation better. And Alana went through a man-up period with me. It was like a couple weeks later, she sent me instant message on the computer. And she asked if she could come over. And I said, Alan can come over anytime he wants to. And she said, no promises, but I'm on my way. Well, when I opened the door, it was that masculine energy that I had known all of my life, and especially since our relationship had been a sexual relationship over that 3-year period. It was a masculine, aggressive, sexual male that I knew and was used to. Well, that's the energy that showed up. And that energy kept showing up. And that energy moved in with me. And then after we'd been living together for about a month or so, I came home one day, and the only difference that Alana had made was to shave the beard that she had grown in her attempt to try to man up. And when I came in, that really bothered me that beard was gone. And I decided at that moment, you know, in my brain, I'm thinking, I'm not going to put up with this Alana crap. That's just too bizarre for me, and I'm just going to have her move out right now. And Alana went to hug me, and I didn't want the hug. And she said, honey, these are the same arms that have always held you. These are the same lips that have always kissed you. I still have the same level of education I've always had, and I can still change the tires on your car. And it was almost like that was the seed that was planted in my brain that grew into the understanding that this person is the same person that I have always known all my life. There's not two different people here. There's one person, one being, one entity, and it's the same person that I've always known. No matter what name I've used, no matter what gender I have perceived, the person is still the same. And it was like that was the seed, that was the beginning of my understanding. And it did take more time and more growth in being out in situations. The Alana presenting in film and going out was mainly at the church that we attended, which was the Ahava Center for Spiritual Living. We're charter members of that church in Lexington, and Alana got to dress. Well, I was here in the room with her as she would transform, and I would see the feminine. So I got comfortable going to church with Alana, and I got comfortable occasionally going out to the gay bar with Alana. And then when Alana's book came out, that's when she really started presenting in film more often. She's always got on feminine clothes. She's always wears feminine blue jeans and the same tops that I wear and stuff like that. But I'm talking about the full makeup and the usually dresses, you know, for book signings and stuff like that. And the more that I would be out with Alana, the more I was comfortable with knowing that this is the proper presentation for this person that I'm in love with. It's like it's no big deal now. I went from feeling embarrassed to be out with Alana to feeling like I want to be the protector. It was almost like whenever we would go out someplace, I would want her to like almost walk half a step behind my left shoulder or something, like nobody's going to say anything to her and hurt her feelings or do anything to her because I love her and I don't want anybody hurting her, to realizing she doesn't need protection. You know, we just go out and be who we are and happy with who we are and we just are and don't worry about anything anymore.
The first time I ever heard the term cisgender was in an email from you, Bobby. Would you like to tell my listeners what that means?
Cisgender means to identify as the gender at which you were assigned at birth. And it's some sort of, I'm not a scientific person, but it's a scientific term meaning the same. If you're cis, you're the same. If you're cisgender, you identify as the same gender that you were assigned at birth.
Okay. I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to get into the whole process of how the two of you helped to transform the awareness of your family, because you are parents and grandparents. So my fascinating conversation with Alana and Bobby will continue after this.
If you're one of my regular listeners, you've heard what's coming next, so...
Actually, that's not what I wanted to play. I want to play this.
I'm Nicholas Snow, and I'm living powerfully with HIV. I write about this in my memoir, Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart. The book is dedicated to the tens of millions of people in the world living with HIV, most of whom do not yet know their status, to everyone who fights for us, and to those who still fear us. From Hollywood to Bangkok to Bali and beyond, including Kuala Lumpur and Palm Springs, with profound expansion to Singapore, Mumbai, and throughout all of Asia, Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart, could easily be titled Eat, Pray, Disclose. Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart, is available in paperback and for Kindle at Amazon.com. and in paperback at lifepositivebook.com. Remember, fight for the life and the world of your dreams until you have no life left in this world, for then you will have truly lived.
This is the Snowbiz Now Entertainment Network, connecting the circuitry of humanity.
I'm talking with Alana Scholler and Bobby Thompson. Alana is the author of Hung in the Middle, A Journey of Gender Discovery, and Bobby tells her side of their story in her memoir entitled My Husband Looks Better in Lingerie Than I Do, Damn It, which explains how she went from freaked out to saying I do and much more when she learned that her lifelong friend, Alan, was actually truly Alana. So by now, the two of you have done a lot of interviews. I'm curious to know, what sort of misinformation do you think is pervasive out there among the people that interview you and among the public in general about what it means to be transgender?
Well, I call myself the outside looking in member of the transgender community. I think a lot of the misinformation is there's just one way to be transgender. And I believed that because my only experience of being around anyone transgender was to be around Alana. And although I've learned that there are many similarities among transgender persons, every person's experience is different, and every person can fit somewhere on a gender spectrum from one end to the other. I thought there was just male and female, and I thought Alana... because she wants to go from presenting as male to presenting as female, I thought that's what all transgender persons wanted to do. When her first book came out, we got to go to Southern Comfort Conference in Atlanta, Georgia in 2012, and I was talking with another trans girl from Kentucky. Well, actually, Alana had been talking with her, and then Alana had to excuse herself to go to the restroom or something, and I wanted to start a conversation with the other girl, and I didn't really know how to start the conversation, so I thought, well, I'll just ask a question that I've heard lots of these transgender girls asking one another, and I should be safe with that. And so I asked her, do you get to live in femme full-time? And she immediately said, hell no, and I wouldn't want to. And that blew my mind because I thought that's what the definition of transgender was somebody who wanted to live in full-time in the gender other than the one that they were assigned at birth. So for me, I think a misconception is, oh, well, if you're transgender, then that means you have to do it this way. How about you,
okay,
baby?
So you learned it wasn't so narrowly defined, and that there were different transgender people you were meeting that had different news of what being transgender is. What about you, Alana?
Well, like Bobby was saying, I think the word transgender has also it's kind of become an umbrella thing for even people that are just really cross-dressers and stuff, and really they're really two different things in a lot of ways. But I think one of the things that really torques me is, of course, the bathroom issue. You know, a lot of you hear a lot of that, and matter of fact, there's a some kind of politician here in Kentucky that's wanting to put a $2,500 bounty reward on anybody who can catch a transgender person in presumably the wrong bathroom. Like if I went to the female bathroom and somebody turned me in, it'd be $2,500. But this is for like students.
It's a college.
College, and so a lot of people believe that people like myself, transgender people, are perverts and want to go in these bathrooms and gawk at women. But I don't gawk at women when I'm out in the hall. I don't gawk at men when I'm out in the hall. When I got to go potty, I go in there to potty, not to be some kind of pervert, you know. And so that's a real irritation, a total misconception, because many of us don't even have that kind of interest, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, it's a lot of times, instead of taking a risk on maybe causing a problem or any kind of embarrassment, I hold it till I come home, and that can get difficult, you know. And so, you know, that's a misconception right there, is what people think about us going to the something as simple as going to a restroom, you know, and how they perceive that.
Well, GLAAD.org has a lot of resource material for journalists and others. That you can find by going to glaad.org/TDOR. TDOR, as I'm sure you both know, stands for Transgender mm-hmm. Day of Remembrance, which honors the memory of those murdered in acts of anti-transgender violence. It's recognized annually on November 20th. And GLAAD encourages journalists to mark the occasion with stories about the pervasive problem of violence against transgender people, as well as the diversity and resilience of the community in the face of harassment and violence. Local observances include all sorts of different activities wherever they may happen. Now, one of the reasons that I particularly looked up this page is because I knew that they would have a section called Terminology and Identification. So I just want to share it again, Bobby and Alana. This isn't new for you, but I want to share it for the listeners. So the following guidelines will assist you as you – this is geared toward the journalist. The following guidelines will assist you as you move forward in writing stories about transgender people. Issues surrounding the coverage of transgender people can be complex and sensitive. The utmost care should be taken to avoid defamatory or offensive language in your coverage. More information on defamatory terminology can be found in the Transgender Terminology chapter of the GLAAD Media Reference Guide. So transgender is an umbrella term for people whose gender identity and or gender expression differs from the sex they were assigned at birth. The term may include but is not limited to transsexuals, crossdressers, and other gender nonconforming people. Use the term preferred by the individual. So if you're interviewing someone, they're going to have a particular term they prefer. Transgender people may or may not pursue hormone therapy or surgery. Gender identity is one's internal personal sense of their gender. For transgender people, their birth assigned gender and their own internal sense of gender identity are not the same. Sexual orientation describes an individual's enduring physical, romantic, emotional, and or spiritual attraction to another person. Transgender people can be heterosexual, lesbian, gay, or bisexual. Transsexual is an older term popularized through medical use and sensational media coverage during the 1950s and 60s. Many transgender people prefer the term transgender to transsexual, while some transsexual people prefer to use the term to describe themselves. Unlike transgender, transsexual is not an umbrella term, as many transgender people do not identify as transsexual. transition include some or all of the following cultural, legal, and medical adjustments: telling one's family, friends, and coworkers, changing one's name and or sex on legal documents, hormone therapy, and possibly, though not always, some form of surgery. When identifying a transgender person, always use a transgender person's correct name. The correct name for a transgender person is the name that person goes by. Often transgender people cannot afford a legal name change or are not yet old enough to change their name legally. They should be afforded the same respect for their chosen name as anyone else who lives by a name other than the name they were assigned at birth. Ask transgender people which pronoun they would like you to use if you are unsure. A person who identifies as a certain gender, whether or not they have taken hormones or had surgery, should be referred to using the pronouns appropriate for that gender. It is never appropriate to put quotation marks around either a transgender person's chosen name or the pronoun that reflects that person's gender identity. There are several resources that I'd love our listeners to know about. The International Transgender Day of Remembrance is available at transgenderdor.org. The Gay Straight Alliance Network Remembrance site is www.gsanetwork.org/resources/day of remembrance. The National Center for Transgender Equality, www.nctequality.org. The Transgender Law Center, that's very easy to remember, transgenderlawcenter.org. And the Massachusetts Transgender Political Coalition, masstpc.org. So, in the home stretch of the interview, Alana and Bobby, is there anything that you would like to say that we have not yet talked about? Any comments you had about what I just read, or anything you might want to repeat?
Well, talking about the Transgender Day of Remembrance, I actually had the pleasure and honor of speaking in Lexington at the Day of Remembrance in
Transylvania University
in 2013.
Yeah,
2013, I believe it was, and that was real gripping because it was probably one of the hardest places I ever spoke at, just because of what it was and what it stood for, and knowing that we were there because so many transgender persons had, you know, passed away and either, you know, by suicide or was murdered, you know. And so it was a really gripping experience for me.
Wow. Well, congratulations on everything you're both doing. Alana, did you want to add anything? I mean, Bobby, did you want to add anything?
Well, I do have an email address. It's called askbobbyanything@gmail.com for anyone that has any type of questions that they would like to ask. And of course, I'd like to let folks know that they can visit Alana's website at hunginthemiddle.com, and there are some videos, including where Alana spoke at the University of Kentucky to the Women and Gender Studies class, as well as some other information. And actually, the first chapter of Alana's book is available there for anybody that wants to kind of try before you buy to see if it's information that they're interested in. And my book's website is myhusbandlooksbetter.com, and there's all sorts of information there too. And the information that you just read, I thought was great. I thought it was very right on to things that I've learned since I've been introduced to the transgender community. And I think it's great that it's available for people to know that, know those things.
I'd just like to make a comment about your commercial about HIV and stuff. That's pretty touching and everything. Like I said earlier, you know, I was diagnosed as well, and it was tougher for me to actually tell my folks and my family I had HIV than it was for me to come out as being transgendered. It was really something that hit me hard and hit my family hard. And but, you know, as you know, we kind of we get through it and then we learn it's okay. And actually, there's a lot of people in Versailles that never shied away from me. Matter of fact, I had people run up and hug me and pet me on the back and stuff. And so I was really surprised at the support I got when people here in this small town found out. And, you know, it was completely the opposite of what I had pictured in my mind, the reaction that these people might have, you know. And here I'm in the Ryan White program, which helps individuals with HIV, you know, financially. And all this is taken care of through the University of Kentucky. And just recently I got the pleasure of doing a video at the University of Kentucky about the Ryan White program as well as the Affordable Care Act insurance, which luckily I came along just in time to save my bacon because I was losing my insurance. And when that rolled out, the University of Kentucky helped me to get that. And so it's been a big thing. So I've really, and you know, I want to check out your book and stuff.
Well, thank you for that. You know, as a person living with HIV, well, first of all, I admire your visibility on that that topic as well. But one of the key points I like to make is that there are two ways of knowing. There's two ways for someone to know they're HIV positive if they are, in fact, are. One is to get tested, and the other is to get sick. And the modern medication that is available prevents HIV from from progressing in the body. So I was able to have an HIV test shortly after I became HIV positive and well before there was an opportunity for the HIV to progress in my body. But even someone that learns when they have full-blown AIDS that they're HIV positive and in fact have AIDS, who starts taking the right medication can have a complete reversal of the disease process. And we all have the ability to live long and healthy lives as people living with HIV. And someone who is successfully treated, an HIV-positive person successfully treated with antiretroviral medication is up to 96% less likely to transmit the virus. So
right.
In getting tested and getting treated, we become we prevent the HIV from progressing in our own bodies, and we are also protecting our partners. So that's an important point to make. Now, before the break, I did say I wanted you to each speak a bit about how your family was in terms of not only Alana's coming out as who she truly is, but about this integrated family that you now have that includes kids and grandkids.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I had talked to my doctor and everything and had actually started therapy. And because my first wife, she's been a unit secretary at the same hospital for over 30 years, and she knows all my doctors. So she threatened me, you either come out to them or else. And so, you know, I did. And so I'd walk four houses up to my parents' house for lunch, and my mom would ask, but she said, you know, there's something wrong with you. She said, what is it? And so I knew she wouldn't understand transgender and all that stuff, and I really didn't want to try to explain it to her, so I just told her I was gay. And she said, okay. So she'd stand there at the stove staring something. I walked away, and a day or two later, I come back, and she was sitting there staring at the food again, and she looked up at me, and she said, you know, she said, I believe bisexual, but never gay. So, but anyway, so, you know, it was probably a week later that I finally set her down and explained, you know, being transgender and stuff like that. And she passed it on to my dad and, of course, my brothers and stuff. But, you know, they all took it in stride. And, you know, it was just not a big deal. I mean, my family stayed supportive. And so it went over a lot better than I thought it would, you know.
And as far as my family, initially my family was a little standoffish just like me. And we had lived across the street from Alan and his family when my son was young. And so my son knew Alan, but didn't necessarily know Alana. So he was a little standoffish at first, and I said, well, let's just all get together and go out to dinner one day to where you can see that the person is still the same person. And that's what we did. And actually, my son and my grandson live with us part-time right now, so everybody is on board and understands. Well, I can't say understands because sometimes I don't even understand. But, yeah, but everybody just knows that Alana is who she is. And actually, we had the conversation with my grandson about the word transgender, I got an idea for writing a children's book based on the conversation I had with my grandson, who was 11 at the time that we talked with him, to explain everything. I think he was 11 then.
Well, that would be an interesting book. You know, in Transparent, the TV show, the character of Davina, played by transgender actress Alexandra Billings, says to the character of Mara something like, you know, in 2 or 3 years, none of your family will be in your life. That was her experience as told in the story. But the real-life story of the creator of the series is very different, because Jill Soloway, based the series Transparent, is inspired by her father, who came out as a woman and is now she. And here you have your first-person tale of love and acceptance. And Bobby, you're one of the people that needed to come to love and accept.
Right. Definitely. Yeah, because I've heard a lot of people talk about how they were initially rejected. Well, I initially rejected Alana too. It just took took time and a process for me to change. I have had a transition as well, but instead of mine being a physical transition, it was a transition in understanding.
Okay.
I need to make one little brag here. One of my biggest fans in town happens to be the deputy sheriff. You know, so, I mean, that's how, you know, supportive this little town has been, you know, and to have a deputy sheriff support you and come to even one of your book signings.
He's been to several.
Yeah, several book signings is, to me, a really cool thing.
I see a whole new television series happening. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't ask this question of you, Bobby. And I don't personally even need to know the answer, but I do know my listeners are. This is probably going through the heads of some of my listeners. So, you are, I assume, a heterosexual woman who had this fantastic relationship with a man who then became a woman who you then married. So they're going to wonder, does that make you a lesbian?
I knew that was going to be the question. I get that question quite often. And my answer to that is always, if you need to think of me as a lesbian in order to gain an understanding for yourself of the type of relationship that Alana and I share, then by all means, put me in the category of a lesbian. Personally, I put myself in the category of someone in love with someone else. Our relationship, I don't see it as a straight relationship. I don't see it as a lesbian relationship, because I personally don't identify as a lesbian. And so I have to make it right in my own brain. And in my own brain, our relationship is a relationship between two people who are in love with one another without the added label.
Well, I personally love... Go ahead.
It's kind of like a, you know, just two spirits in love. Thing.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of see. I'll tell you my own take on it. I believe that if you eliminate the religious and the cultural and the historic obsession boxes and labels that all human beings' sexuality and who they give themselves permission to love would be so much more broader. And I think that 100 years from now, that these labels that are pervasive today that sort of need to exist for us to carve out equality for all will be nowhere near as significant or as important.
Right, because, you know, I agree with that. And I, when I say I agree with that, it's not just gay, straight, transgender, or whatever, but it's also the race thing. You know, I'd like to see all the labels. You know, and I know we a lot of times use those as descriptors. You know, well, you know, this black male come into the store, this white person done this, or, you know, it's an identifier type thing. But personally, I wish it could all go away myself.
Well, 100 years from now, for a variety of reasons, you know, there'll be a lot fewer Caucasian people because of just the way that humanity is evolving. But I'm with you.
Correct.
I agree. I think that I think that labels that are important in carving out equality for everyone will become less and less important when equality exists for everyone.
Right.
So another point, I'm sure you noticed, but I extended the show just a little bit because I hadn't exhausted some important questions. And this is, I guess, the final thing that I wanted just to ask about. So, what year were you legally married in?
2008, December the 31st, 2008. Actually, I told Alana, you know, if we get married before midnight on Wednesday, I can claim you as a tax write-off. And she said, well, okay, let's go on and do it then. We were planning a January wedding, and things just weren't working out, and there was a lot of confusion and all of this kind of stuff. So my stepfather is a Pentecostal preacher, and so we just called him, and Alana's parents came over to the house and were our witnesses, and we got married in our living room.
And I would like to have the preacher say something like, Bobby, do you take Alana as your tax deduction?
Yeah.
Okay, so, and this happened in the state of Kentucky. So you were married legally as man and woman in Kentucky.
Right, because in Kentucky, you know, even though on my driver's license has got my legal name, Alana Nicole Scholler, it still has on my license the M, you know. And I wish I could change that, but in Kentucky, it's kind of strict on that right now.
Well, and we're continuing to work on resolving these issues. Now, I have two friends. They're no longer married, but they had a similar story as you. My friend's name, her name is Lanny Wolf. Lanny Wolf wrote a novel called She's My Dad, and it's about... it's a mystery. It's a mystery about how the main character shows up into his daughter's life, but he is now a she, and it's called She's My Dad. But anyway, Lanny married Jolene in the state of California as man and woman. And then Lanny went through her legal transition, which is different than any sort of medical or physical or surgical transition. Went through her legal transition. So they were still legally married, even though Lanny was now a woman. They sent divorce and are now married to other people. But, you know, again, there's all sorts of fascinating takes on the issue when it comes to marriage equality. Because, for example, if you had legally transitioned to female, then you would have had to wait for marriage equality to be the law of the land in Kentucky to get married.
Right. And the thing is right now, since we're married, if I do, you know, am able to get the full surgery all the way down to, from head to toe in the state of Kentucky, they can't make us divorce either.
That's what I'm saying. I agree.
Right. Exactly.
But,
exactly. So that works out pretty good.
But I just want to stress that whether or not someone has surgery in no way makes them more or less who they truly are. So you may choose to have surgery at some point, but that's not going to make you any more of the woman that you already are. Is that correct?
Correct.
And you know, when you talk about that, you know, I mean, if I transitioned, you know, had all the surgery, I mean, I'm a woman, whether I have the surgery or not, of course, but let's say I have all the surgery and they can't make us divorce because we were legally married, then what problem would you have with marriage equality, period? You know, because it's going to happen. Matter of fact, it's, you know, it was brought up in Kentucky, and the attorney general, I think is what he is.
Yeah, I can
help you,
baby.
Supported it and everything, and of course the governor kind of wanted to take it another step. So they're still working on the marriage equality thing here in Kentucky right now.
Go ahead.
Bring up another Kentucky couple that I saw on 2020 just recently. His name is Nick Bowers, and her name is Bianca Bowers, and they have two biological children. And Nick is a transgender female to male, and Bianca is a transgender male to female, and they live right here in Louisville, Kentucky. And I was so excited to see that piece on 2020 and learn about them. And in this situation, a couple of comments that they made on the show was, Daddy had the babies and Mama's got a penis. But they are just... When you watch the piece, they are a beautiful young couple with gorgeous kids and just doing what any other family would be doing. And I just think it's a fantastic example that people are just people no matter what your life's journey.
Well, Annette Bening and Warren Beatty have a transgender son, age 23.
Right.
They've always been fabulously supportive of him. And Laverne Cox was on the cover of Time magazine. She's in Orange is the New Black. She's was on national television last night at the Screen Actors Guild Awards. And you can see a fabulous speech that she gave at the National Conference on AIDS in San Diego last year on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/snowbiznow. So the world is changing because people like you are expressing the truth of your lives to the people whom you influence. And it's great. You know, at some point our lives will end and we'll know we had lives well lived because we honored and expressed our humanity in a way that truly makes a difference. So I really want to thank both of you, and I want to also thank you for your patience, because I know we've been talking about having you on the show for a long time, and it took a while to make it happen, but I'm so glad that it did.
Well, we really appreciate you giving us this opportunity. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Any last words for now?
Buy our books.
Buy their books. Yes, let's not forget that. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
It's been a fascinating, fascinating show. I'm so glad that all of you tuned in. Remember, Alana is the author of Hung in the Middle, A Journey of Gender Discovery. Find it at hunginthemiddle.com, along with all sorts of interesting videos and other info. Alana's book is entitled My Husband Looks Better in Lingerie Than I Do, Damn It. Find it at myhusbandlooksbetter.com. And my advice to them and to you is to remember that what you think of me is none of my business.
I try to remember that what people think of me is none of my business, but OMG, have you heard what they're saying about me and my show?
It's pornography!
No, the Supreme Court says it's not.
He's sick!
He is widely regarded as the finest satirist of his time.
Yeah, well, I think he's a pervert. Probably a communist, too.
Endorse promiscuity, godlessness, the mongrelization of the races, and disrespect to high-ranking officers of the United States Army. And that is why right-thinking school boards all across the country have been banning this man.
This is the Snowbiz Now Entertainment Network, connecting the circuitry of humanity. You have been listening to Nicholas Snow Live, produced and copyrighted by Nicholas Snow Productions, LLC. To be alerted of new episodes moments before we go on the air, be sure to follow @TheNicholasSnow on Twitter. To receive promotional videos about upcoming broadcasts and to be invited to special hangouts, follow us on Google Plus, linked prominently at NicholasSnowLive.com, where you'll also find the archive of all of our episodes. That's NicholasSnowLive.com. Thank you for being a part of the snowstorm. We're honored by your presence.